Hello, everybody. Welcome back to WWF Wrestling with Freddie. And I teased a big episode last week. I'm really excited to share these stories with you. One of them is going to make you laugh. One of them is going to rip your heart right out of your chest, throw it into pieces. And then it's going to put an arm around you and it's going to say, don't worry, we're going to take that heart. We're going to patch it up. We're going to put it right back in there and you're going to be feeling good. I promise you. And then I'm going to tell you a crazy story that I've teased that I like to call the ice storm. This is going to be a long one. We're probably going to chop it into two. So if you want to wait an extra week and binge them, but if you can't wait, I promise there's some good stories. And that is what they call a much better tease than last week's tease. So let's start the show. Welcome to Wrestling with Freddie.
Now, stepping up to the mic, the host of Wrestling with Freddie, Freddie Prinze Jr.
All right, you guys. So I kind of told you how the promo class started, and it was a total fail. And I was at work at Titan Tower the next week, and I went to talk to Jimmy. And this was Vince's guy. You've heard me mention him before. I'm pretty sure he was in the Army. Real serious, just to the point, no nonsense. And you know he has Vince's back no matter what. Like if Vince was like, yo, man, you got to take that dude Freddie out, that would have been a wrap and we would not be making this podcast. So I talked to Jimmy. I said, hey, man, they put me in a broom closet. And I don't know, I'll do it if that's like dues I have to pay. And he's like, no, they shouldn't have done that. He goes, I'll take care of it. And the dude did. So the next Monday, it was a Raw. I show up and they have like the producers meeting is done. And John Laurinaitis brings all the talent in and brings me in. And he's standing in front of them and he's like 6'5". And always wearing his suit and his hair's always like combed and he's like, looks very corporate, right? He used to be a pro wrestler, for those of you who don't know. I think the Dynamic Dude was his name. So he says, all right, everybody. All right, quiet down. And everybody quiets down. And it's the whole roster in there. There's probably 60, maybe 70 deep. Then I mean, it was the room was full. And he says, as you know, I always provide you guys the proper tools you need. And right away I step in, I go, yo, man, don't call me a tool. And that kind of made the wrestlers pop a little and broke some of the, why the hell is Freddie Prinze Jr. standing next to Johnny Ace? And he's, what is going on right now? And he says, we brought Freddie in and he's going to write for a lot of you and he's going to teach you guys a lot about your promos and your acting. Isn't that right, Freddie? And it may not have been the best introduction that I've ever received, but it was an introduction. So I stood there in front of everybody. I wasn't prepared for this. They didn't tell me it was going to happen right then. And I just kind of explained what promo class was going to be. And I said, when I moved back to Los Angeles, I started at this acting class called The Shop. And it was these two acting coaches that worked together named John Homa and Andrew McGarian. And our roster there was deep with talent. We had everyone from my wife to Kirsten Dunst to Jennifer Love Hewitt, Tina Majorino back in the day. I think Christina Ricci was in there. Like it was, we had a deep, deep roster. And so I'm breaking down what we did in acting class. And I talk about scene study, how we're going to break scenes down over a 4-week period, help them start to develop, you know, memorization skills so they can learn things a lot quicker, a lot easier. Cause I know you guys work last minute. I said, and we're also going to do some techniques that are just going to help sharpen your skills in there, especially in case you do forget your lines. I want you to have an ability to improv and know where to go. And I think when John said tool and I said, don't call me a tool, I think Candace Michelle was her name. She goes, well, you know how I like to work my tools. And so I'm just like, oh, Lord, this is how we're starting this off. In front of 70 people, she said that. And they all laughed, right? So I have to, like, blush. So anyway, I explain it, and I say we'll be starting every day right after the production meeting. Eventually, I got to make it a little earlier. I convinced them I needed more time, and that got me out of some production meetings, which, as I've let you know, those production meetings were hell. So that was the real hell in the cell, was being a writer in those damn rooms, by the way. So anyway, we start the first one And it's, now this is the official one, right? And it's pretty deep. I'd say about maybe 16, 17 wrestlers showed up, all young gunners, right? Like Miz and Morrison, Natty Neidhart, just a lot of the young bucks were there. I think Bryan Danielson was there. Sheamus was there. All like the people who you know now, but they were young gunners then. And I start talking to them and I can see like the, and rightfully so, the suspicion in some of their faces as to like why I'm here, what my motives are, like what the hell are you going to teach me about acting? Like all this kind of just toughness in their faces. And I said, listen, I may not be Robert Downey Jr., but Robert Downey Jr. doesn't give a shit about y'all. And I do. So I'm going to teach you everything I know and everything I believe other actors use as their techniques, because I've worked with some of the greats like Peter Falk and just people, Brian Dennehy, people who really have a strong technique as far as building a character behind the lines. And I ask a ton of questions until I annoy these sons of bitches, but I always would ask and they would always give me everything they could. So that softened some people up, but not everyone. And I start talking to them about this acting exercise for my acting class called repetition. And repetition is basically it's a game with one rule. You're locked in to whatever the other person says. So if you and I are going to go back and forth, just a silly example, I'd say, you're listening to my podcast. You're locked into that. You can personalize it or not. But you're locked into that. So I would say, you're listening to my podcast. And you'd respond, I'm listening to your podcast. And then I'd respond, you're listening to my podcast. And you'd respond, I'm listening to your podcast, because this is getting old. So you have a little attitude on your voice. And then I smile, I go, yeah, you're listening to my podcast. And that's making me feel good. And you're like, yo, what is Freddie? I'm listening to your podcast. And it goes back and forth until someone can't take it anymore and they have to change the words of the sentence, and then you get a point. First to 3 points, you win. Or in this case, we just did first one to change it loses. So I offer all this up and I say, now I need a volunteer, but if no one volunteers, I'm going to choose someone. But before I can say I'm going to choose someone, Miz just stands up. And if you don't know who the Miz is, if you're listening just to hear the crazy stories that I'm telling and you're not a wrestling fan, you may have seen his show on USA called Miz and Mrs. or promos for it. You may remember him from the old school MTV, like reality show days, or you may have seen him on Dancing with the Stars as Mike the Miz Mizanin. So to understand the Miz, and I don't mean to take us on a side quest, but I like video games and side quests are fun. To understand the Miz, you have to understand how this business views reality TV. And it's not fair. But it goes film, television, professional wrestling, and then reality TV is below that. Like reality TV is nothing more than a cash grab. It's all show business, and we all know which word's bigger. But the reality show is the cheapest show to make. You don't have to pay the talent anything, and you can make a fortune off of it. But they don't respect wrestling, but they respect reality shows even less. A good comparison would be the comedy version of Theo Von, who everybody loves now. But when Theo Von, who's selling out arenas nationwide, started out in comedy, he was a guy from Real World Road Rules, and every comedian hated him. And no one would help him. People would steal his time slot just so he wouldn't go on, because they didn't want this guy who basically, they look at it as like, you got a lottery ticket. You didn't earn it. Now, there are a handful of comics, a very small handful, who looked after Theo. One of them is, I know this story because one of them is my best friend, Josh Wolf, who said, you know, hey, man, I'm happy to give you advice, because he doesn't really care what other people think. Josh is just a different cat. So eventually, Theo was so damn good that he earned everyone's respect. And now the dude's on the Joe Rogan podcast and every other show, and people love him, and TVs are trying to give him deals so he can make a show because his style is so unique. So Miz came up on the reality show circuit and said, as a grown man, I want to be a WWE superstar. And that was a take. Again, it's not, wrestling is not as respected as I wish it was in this business. So he was made almost a joke on that show. Now, all of a sudden, he gets a chance to be a pro wrestler. And a lot of these wrestlers are looking at him the same way those comics looked at Theo. Like, you're here because you got famous on a reality show. You're not here because you earned it. So the chip, and I don't know this for a fact. This is just me applying my life experience to these situations. But the chip on Miz's shoulder, which is no longer there, was as big as a house. Okay, you couldn't miss it. And he stood up before I could complete the sentence. And I respect the hell out of Miz, but he did not like me when we were there. And he and I aren't like buddies now. We don't like even wish each other Merry Christmas or anything like that. But we respected each other very much. And so he gets up and I say, so you remember the rules? And he goes, yeah, I got it. It just so like dismissive with me, right? And I go, all right, do you want me to start for you? And he goes, no. I'm ready. I'll start. And I'm like, whoo. And now I get, my eyes go wide, right? It's like a wolf seeing a rabbit with a limp, because this isn't his world, no matter how good he can do. I've been humiliated in this exercise a million times in front of all my peers. And I know how that pressure builds by the time you have to repeat the same sentence four times. And he hasn't felt this, but the dude is fearless and he does not care what obstacle you put in front of him and what you say he can't do. He will do it and he will put it in your face. And I love this dude so much for this. So he goes, no, I'll start. And I go, all right, man, go ahead. And excuse me if you hear me curse now, but if you don't want to hear me curse, just, mute this part. But he says, what the fuck are you going to teach me about acting? And my eyes just the widest they've ever been in my life. And I go, what the fuck am I going to teach you about acting? And he goes, what the f-? And we go back and forth. And eventually he breaks because he can't take it. He goes about six rounds deep with me, which is good. I mean, that's the normal amount of pressure. And then he had to change the sentence. And I pointed at him and I was like, oh, and everyone was like, oh, you lost. And he sat down. And then other people started getting up after that. And taking a shot without me being there. Now they kind of saw it happen. So they were starting to go on each other. And I had to tell them when it was just them, I said, now listen, when we did this class, when I was a young buck, you know, like 20, 21 years old and doing this, and it's a bunch of pretty people in an acting class and this exercise, and I'm telling them this as candidly as I'm telling you guys now. I said, this exercise inherently, when it's a boy and a girl, they step closer and closer to one another and it gets sexier and sexier every time, especially if both people are single. It just happens. It's the nature of the beast. I've seen it 1,000 times to not know for a fact this is true. And I said, when it's two men, it gets closer and closer, but it almost always turns into a fight. And I said, and when it's two women, y'all usually keep it civil and clean. I said, so here are the rules. Y'all ain't allowed to make out and you're not allowed to hit each other. I said, but everything else is a go. So they start doing their thing and the repetition starts going well. And when we finish, it's about an hour. I explain to them what I want them to do. Well, first I explain to them what I feel the benefits of the exercise are. And the first is twofold. The first being there's a million different ways to cut a line honestly, so long as you commit to it and have a thought behind the line. The only wrong way to execute a line on camera is to not believe it, to not commit, and to be embarrassed or scared to fail, which leads us to the second benefit of the exercise, a fearlessness to fail. If you're willing to fail in front of your peers, the people that you're working with, and unfortunately competing with, because that's how this business does artists, then you're going to be more willing to fail out on the big show because you've already done it. You got back up. Your career wasn't over, and you're getting another opportunity. Another promise that I made to every single wrestler that walked into that room was I would never film a single session, and that nobody in the brass, none of the agents, nobody would ever see anything they ever did because they were nervous if they did something and it wasn't good, that would get them buried. And that was a very legitimate concern because I've seen people get buried at that company for far less. They could just have a bad promo in FCW and it's nothing to do with them. It was just written poorly, or they're a person who needs a writer. But they were done and didn't get a shot for like another 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean? So I understood that fear and I made that promise and I kept it the whole time. I did tell them anytime I saw something special, I had promised Vince that I would report that directly to him if there was somebody that I thought, because I just wanted all cards on the table. So everybody knew what time it was and everybody knew what was going on. So as the promo classes began to kind of take shape, I had sort of my regular 10, and then there'd be about, I don't know, 8 to 12, sometimes less, just depending on travel and things like that and what time they were going to be able to get there. But we were doing this every single week. And a lot of people who weren't getting camera time, I felt deserved camera time. Eve Torres, who's now Eve Torres Gracie, she was a former Divas champion. She knew how to act. I could just tell. And so I gave her, I wanted everyone to do a monologue, which they call a promo. And it's just a paragraph or two where no one else is speaking. You're communicating a message to your, either to the person you're speaking to or to the audience. And I gave her this speech from Beautiful Girls that Rosie O'Donnell cut, which just talks total trash on Beautiful Girls and how their life is so much easier and they can fail more and all this. And the class is over and Eve comes up to me and she says, Freddie, I can't do this. And I said, what do you mean? Why not? And she goes, she's talking about me. And I said, yeah, that's the perfect reason why. This is going to be, I want to see if you can handle this. I want to see if you can do this. And so they got 3 weeks to kind of work on it, perform it. I would give notes, things like that. And then the fourth week, I expected them off book and ready to kick ass. So on the fourth week, she comes in and she cuts this promo. And she straight like breaks down, like full on like tears. And it's everyone in there. She finishes, okay? And everyone in there, we would always clap when someone was done. I want to build their egos up. I don't want to break them down. That's the WWE philosophy that I do not agree with. Break them down to build them up in your image. That's a heavy fingerprint. And heavy fingerprints are usually dictated by ego, not by imagination. Light fingerprints are imagination. That's why Van Gogh's paintings look so awesome. So anyway, she breaks down and no one claps, including me. And she's sitting there in tears, right? In tears. And at about 3 seconds go by, 4 seconds go by. And then like all the wrestlers, not all of them, but like 4 or 5 wrestlers get up and they all go to her. And it's just, oh my God, that was, and they're hugging her and like holding her up. That was amazing. Oh my God, that was so good. Oh my God, you're great. And I'm sitting there like, yo, dude, a wrestler just moved me. Like what just happened? And it was like one of the first like real moments that I saw with talent there that just kind of like, it just sort of messed with my head, right? So I talked to Vince about this and I say, yo man, Eve is like doing next level stuff up there where I'm wanting to tell her, yo, you need to get out this business and audition for like TV shows and movies. You could have been Wonder Woman. So she'd have been a great Wonder Woman. So he's like, he just gives you that grunt, right? Which means I'll think about it if I get around to it. And it sounds like this. Like, that's it. It's not just, that means like, I don't want to hear this crap anymore. But if you get the triple, he's like, yeah, whatever. So a few weeks go by and all of a sudden I hear that Eve's going to be the general manager of Monday Night Raw. And in this instance, the storyline died. It came around, I think, a year and a half later. But they had this great idea on how she was going to become the general manager. And it was her just being in the right place at the right time. And the current general manager was making a fool of themselves. And she comes in with a solution instead of a problem. And that's what Vince likes. He's solution-oriented. Now, granted, his philosophy is Reaganomics. He fixes problems with money, but Eve was coming in and fixing a problem with an idea. And it got all the way to TV. And then Pritchard said, oh, there's a lot of talk in this episode. And it got killed. But it came around later, and she did a great job with it. Anyway, that's the Monday Night Raw. We go to SmackDown on Tuesday. And Johnny makes the same speech, but this time doesn't call me a tool, which is great. And I start to work with the SmackDown group. And this is when I meet Natalya Neidhart. And Natty, to know her is to love her. You can't help it. There's nothing evil inside her. She's too nice to her own detriment. She's too good for her own detriment. And her and I've seen her shed some tears. I was a shoulder that her head was on. I mean, you got to understand this woman, when she was like her most over, was when the women's division was beyond afterthought. Okay. It was, they received 5 minute matches and 2 minutes of it was their damn intro. So they get 3 minutes to tell a match. And her finisher is a damn submission that she only gets to apply for about 20 seconds. And you can't tell a story of how much pain her opponent's in, because then they'd only have like 60 seconds left in the match. So it limited anyone with a submission hold, which is why very few of them did it. And when they did, it wasn't dramatic because they got no time, right? So this is what all these women were going through when I was there. And my relationship with Natty led a lot of the women on SmackDown to come to that class, to the point where I began writing for a lot of them and helping them work on their skills, to where Steph had me write this whole crazy storyline. They were going to bring Awesome Kong in, and they gave me the story. And we had recently signed Gail Kim, and I had Awesome Kong like smashing her first like three opponents, just killing them, right? Awesome Kong, if you don't know her, is Kia Stevens. And she's just like 6'2", maybe 6'1", just gigantic, right? And I met her. I can't wait to tell you this story. So I write this whole storyline about her, and she crushes the first three, and the WWE had signed Gail Kim, and her and Gail had some really, really good matches at TNA. So Gail was going to give her a match, and we were going to get 7 minutes. This was what I was promised, right? It would have been 3 minutes, but I was promised 7 minutes. Ooh, 7 whole minutes. Now they get 2 commercial breaks and are doing 25-minute matches in the last hour of Raw. They're so gangster now. But so we're writing this up, and Gail hits her finisher, but Kong kicks out, and Kong beats her. And then she meets Natalya. And this is the first real, real test. And Kong beats her, but then goes off after the bell, which brings out Beth Phoenix, which is what Vince wanted me to work WrestleMania to. And it was going to be Beth Phoenix and Awesome Kong at WrestleMania. Or this is what Stephanie wanted me to do. And so I put this whole story together. They brought in Kong. And then I wanted to try out some of my ideas in the promo class. So we had already been working together now a few months. And I had a good rapport with them. And we were trying out new things. Miz was doing stuff with Alex Riley in there in the promo class where they would just go off on each other and nobody got to see. And I'll tell that story another day. But Kia and Beth, I kind of gave Kia more information than Beth. And I said, hey, I want you to, because you guys are going to be going together at WrestleMania, but I want the relationship to start in a very sort of Emperor Anakin Skywalker sort of way. I don't want you to try to bury her or break her or kill her. I want you to seduce her. I want you to bring her to the dark side, so to speak, and have the two of you destroy all the rest of these Barbie doll beauties and show the world what women should be. And Kia's just looking at me, and I swear to God, she goes, I got it, baby. And so I sit down. And I've never worked with her before, okay? Only Beth and the rest of the cast. She was brand new. And Beth's standing there, and Kia comes up to her, and she goes, don't be afraid. I don't want to hurt you. I want to join you. And she just walks in a circle around Beth, and Beth just follows her with her head. And while she's circling around her, she goes, look at you and look at me. And now look at all the rest of these dumb bitches in this room. And it's all the rest of the female wrestlers in there. And they're all sitting there and they're just, they know it's not personal. This is how these promos are done. I mean, they'll shoot on each other straight up. And she starts naming like their weight. This bitch weighs 122 pounds. I'm three of her. You could snap her in two. We could break each and every single one of them. And beyond that, we could break the whole damn system. And they go through this whole thing and she circles her about three times. And at the end, Beth just looks her dead in the face and goes, you can go straight to hell. And everybody was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh, this is amazing. And I was sitting there, I was like, yo, these chicks, because Beth wasn't the best on the microphone, right? So I had to protect her more than I would have to protect Kia. Apparently, I didn't know how much I would have to do with Kia. But she was just fire, like straight fire. Now, the story couldn't play and ended up not going because Kia ended up leaving the company. But that moment in that promo class is basically the beginning of the story of the ice storm. So I'll give you a tease for the ice storm. And then if you want to hear the rest of the story, you can tune in next week. Or like I said, you can smush them and binge it. So SmackDown is over. And I'm working late because I'm working on this story. And I have to show it to Stephanie. Pretty much everybody already left. And I told Angelo, the other writer that I was close with, I was like, man, I'll find a ride. Like, there's always people. So, and I was getting along with a lot of the people at this point in the company were digging me because they saw how hard I worked. So I'm finishing up this story. Everybody leaves. I'm walking through and there's not many people left in the arena. And I see one of the makeup artists and I say, hey, do you want to cruise to Atlanta with me? I'll drive. I go, you can just sleep. She goes, oh, that would be amazing. Thank you. So we get in the car and makeup artists in Hollywood gossip. It's just, they're sitting there in a trailer. You can only make so much conversation when you put makeup on somebody for an hour straight. So they start gossiping. They start saying, hey, oh, this person, that person, oh, this, that, and this. I'm not one for gossip. That's why I'm in and out of the makeup trailer inside of 12 minutes and I make them play music when I'm in there so that everybody hopefully will know the song and sing it, even if it's music I don't like, so long as I don't have to hear that. Unfortunately, this night I did, but she shaped the company in a different light and I started looking out for myself a little bit more and she started telling me not only like who was sleeping with who, but who liked me and who didn't. And so I found out that John Cena couldn't stand me. And didn't want me in the company. And this even goes into a promo class. And I'll tell this story on another time when John Cena interrupted the promo class to try and like bury it. But we ended up with a little bit of respect at the end. So she's telling me everything. And I'm like, all right, this wrestler, that wrestler. And we get in the car. And we get on the highway. She knows the way. She's done the drive 100 times. So all she has to do is get me on the highway. And she gets me on the highway. And it is the craziest 4-hour road trip that I've ever been on in my life. And I can't wait to tell you about it next week. Also, guys, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram. Twitter is RealFPJR. That's RealFP Junior. Instagram is RealFreddyPrenz. And I'll speak with you guys on the next WWF Wrestling with Freddie. This has been a production of iHeartRadio's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.